Some people miss heaven because they figure God did a part and I have got to do a part. God paid $75,000 and I got to pay $75,000. There must be something I got to do to get this salvation. I got to do some work. I got to do something. But oh my friend, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus paid it all.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, How to Lose a Blessing, which we heard last week, Pastor Grant showed us from chapter 13 of the book of Acts that there are blessings from God that are within reach of all mankind simply because of God's mercy and through no merit of our own. In the second part of his message that we will hear this week, Pastor Grant continues to explore those great blessings identified in Acts chapter 13, a chapter that also contains the solemn warning that those blessings can be lost. Turn once again in your Bibles to Acts 13 and listen to the second part of Pastor Grant's message entitled, How to Lose a Blessing. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Jesus Christ, He took all the punishment that your sin deserved. He took all the punishment that my sin deserved. The wrath that God was going to put on me because of my sin. Jesus took it all. That's what Good Friday is all about. Sometimes we celebrate Good Friday and we miss it, that what was going on was that Jesus Christ was becoming your substitute and He was becoming my substitute. That when Jesus said to His Father, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? What was going on then is that God the Father was pouring on His Son the judgment and the penalty that your sin deserved and that my sin deserved. Jesus was taking it on Himself. Why did they nail Him to Calvary's tree? Why? Tell me, why was He there? Jesus, that's what how the songwriter puts it. Jesus, the helper, the healer, the friend. Why? Tell me. Why was He there? And then the songwriter, as he finishes that beautiful song, he says, all my iniquities on Him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. Hallelujah. He paid the ransom for me. Oh, you know, sometimes some parents, when they're going to be good to their children, I wasn't one of those, but some parents, when they're good to their children, they give them a house. But you know, those sometimes they decide to give them a house, but sometimes they can't afford the full amount. So what do? The house is $150,000. They give them $50,000. They said, Johnny and Mary, I'm going to give you this house. Sorry that I wasn't able to do that. But Johnny and Mary, I'm going to give you this house. I'm putting down $75,000. But you got to pay the other $75,000. But I want to tell you what God did for me. He didn't pay half. This is why some people miss heaven, you know. Some people miss heaven because they figure God did a part and I have got to do a part. God paid $75,000 and I got to pay $75,000. There must be something I got to do to get this salvation. I got to do some work. I got to do something. But oh my friend, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus paid it all. The title has come back. It's stamped, paid in full. But thank God, after Jesus had paid the penalty of your sin and my sin on the cross, aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? Because if that was the end of the story, that was an ugly story. But oh, I'm glad to know that 3 days later, Jesus Christ got up out of the grave. The Apostle Paul, he makes sure, he emphasizes in this passage. I don't know if you notice how much emphasis he puts on it, that Jesus got up. He not only emphasized that Jesus got up, he says, listen, God would not allow his son's body to decay. He said, even our great forefather David, his body decayed. But this person, his Jesus, God did not allow his body to decay. God was showing he was fully satisfied with the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary because of the love of God. One writer says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Fulton Sheen said, God does not love us because we were valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. Did you get that? God didn't love you because you're valuable. We're valuable because God loves us. And God loves you. My friend, I'm so glad when I was a little boy in Sunday school, I learned this verse, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. And it says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Has He become your substitute? Have you accepted the work that He did to be your substitute? He died in your place. He took all the judgment and the wrath that your sin deserved. Jesus took it, and He has paid for your salvation in full. Have you received it? That's the question. Have you received this salvation? But let's move on, because I'm coming back to that. Paul went on to share two aspects of God's grace. And here in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, in verse number 26, he says, brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of what? Of salvation has been sent. And in verse 38 he says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Here are two of God's blessings that we have received as a result of His grace. Blessing number one, we have received salvation. You say, what is that all about? Salvation. Part of what's wrapped up in this business of salvation, we are saved from God's wrath. But not only are we saved from God's wrath, we are forgiven of every sin. As much as we pretend we're okay, sin leaves us guilty. But I want you to know this morning, I don't have to keep going to some priest at the confession booth. I don't have to do that anymore. You see, I went to Catholic school, and then I went to Anglican school, so I understand what the teaching is, but I'm glad for the teaching of the Scripture, the Word of God, that listen, the day Jesus saved me, He saved me from every sin. You know, it's so exciting sometimes when you witness to somebody and they come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you ask them how they feel, and they say, I feel like a weight has been lifted, because sin does make you feel that something is wrong. Today, God wants to let you know that you can be forgiven. Here's a beautiful verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I don't want you to miss that little verse. You say, Brother Brian, how can I accept, how can I get Jesus, the substitutionary work that he did on the cross, how can I get that to relate to me? And here it is, you see, for by grace, that's God's part. God, by grace you have been saved. Here is your part, through faith. Through faith. Listen, faith does not mean that you believe that there is a God. That's only a part of it. You see, the Bible says, the devil believed that there is a God, and he trembles. But what faith is, listen to me good. You know, I can believe that this chair will hold me up. But if I don't sit, I have exercised faith that it can. You can believe, and I believe there are a lot of people in here this morning who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He's the Savior of the world. But the question is, have you exercised faith in Him? Have you put your life in His hand and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and into my life. I'm willing to turn from my sin, and I'm willing to turn to you. And God, I want to live my life for you. You see, that's faith. Faith is when I put my life in His hand and say, God, take my life. Save me. Have you done that?
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I know you may have prayed prayers, and you may have said, forgive me, because you know you did some sin. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm going much further. Faith is giving your life to God. I've told the story, and I'll tell it again. There was this great tightrope walker, and here he was at the Niagara Falls, at the American side, and coming, trying to cross over from the American side to the Canadian side. And this tightrope was strung across the falls, and he walked across the tightrope, you know, balancing himself. Man, this was amazing. All these crowds were there. How many of you have been to the Niagara Falls? If you've been to the falls and see the swirling water, and this man, he is going across the falls on a tightrope. That's amazing. He then took a wheelbarrow, and he pushes the wheelbarrow across the falls. That's amazing. He put a 200-pound weight in the wheelbarrow, and he crosses the falls. And then he said, how many of you believe I can push a person across the falls? Of course, everybody raised their hand. I mean, if he can push a 200-pound weight, he can certainly push you if you're not 200 pounds. And then he said, how many of you will let me push you across the Niagara Falls? How many volunteered? Zero. Faith is when you step into God's wheelbarrow. Say, God, here is my life. Save me. Live your life in me. Have you done it? But listen, blessing number one was salvation. But blessing number two was justification. That's a nice big word. Justification. You say, Brother Brian, break that down for me. What is this business about justification? Justification means that you are declared righteous. Now, don't miss what that verse said in verse number 39. It says, through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law. Listen, you cannot be justified by the law. The law cannot What is justification? To be declared righteous. The law just does not declare you righteous. The law does not declare you. You see, justification is a legal term. And God says, the minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He justifies you. He declares you righteous. Can I break it down very simply and say, He declares you to be just as if you had never sinned. You say, how in the world is that possible? Pastor, do you have any idea all I've done? How are you going to talk about I'm going to be just like I never sinned? Well, I don't care what you did. You don't know what I did either. But I tell you, the person who knows what you did and what I did and what everybody else did, once they come to faith in Jesus Christ, He justifies us. He declares us righteous, just as if we had never sinned. And this morning, on the basis of this, I am thanking God not only for His faithfulness, I am thanking Him not only for His love, but I am thanking Him for His grace. But here's the sad part. God's blessings can be lost. Despite the great blessings God had made available, most of those in the crowd were at risk of losing the blessing. So God gave them a warning. So here's God's warning. Paul has told them, this message is for you. This message of salvation is just for you. And here's what he says now. Folks, don't take this lightly. Acts of the Apostles 13, 40 and 41. You don't want the prophet's sermon to describe you. He said, watch out, cynics. I wonder if there's a cynic here this morning. The person, I don't know if I need to do that. He says, watch out, cynic. Look hard. Watch your world fall to pieces. Listen, he says, this is what God is saying. I'm doing something right before your eyes that you won't believe, though it's staring you in the face. The blessings of God are staring you in the face. The blessing of salvation, the blessing of justification, it's staring you in the face. And the apostle warns them. He says, God is saying, watch out, cynics, because it's possible that despite the fact it's staring you in the face, you won't believe. And guess what? Despite God's warning, that's exactly what happened. Most of the Jews rejected the message. Look with me at verse 46. Verse number 46. Then Paul and Barnabas, after they had rejected the message, Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We have to speak the word of God to you Jews first. But since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Don't miss that. The Jews in Pisidian Antioch had lost their opportunity. The message had steered them in the face. You know, I'm finding out that some people believe that the matter of coming to Jesus Christ for salvation, they're doing God a favor. Listen to me. I'm almost wrapped up. Some people have the idea, whenever I am ready, since I'm doing God a favor, whenever I'm ready to do Him the favor, I'll get saved. But my Bible says to me, he that is often reproved and hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This God of love is not a God to be trifled with. How do you lose the blessing? Just neglect to receive Christ. Just do nothing. Just keep putting off making a decision to receive Christ? The Bible asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Bible doesn't say, how do you escape if you reject? It says, how do you escape if you neglect? If in light of all God has done in sending Jesus to the cross to be your substitute, if in light of all of that, you just do nothing, God says, how do you expect to escape the judgment of God? We all deserve judgment. Some of us have grabbed the hold of Jesus and said, I am so glad you're my substitute. But if you neglect the substitute, God says, how do you expect to escape? The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. I close with a story. There's a story of an eagle who, during the spring thaw, soared above the forest. He was looking for food. And finally, as he was soaring above the forest, he saw a little rodent. And this rodent was trapped on a piece of ice that had broken free. So this piece of ice had broken free. This little rodent, he couldn't jump from ice to ice. So he was done. So, of course, the eagle, he came swooping down. And he landed on this piece of ice. And he killed the rodent. And he began to eat. And as he continued, because the piece of ice was floating to a waterfall, the eagle kept eating. He could hear the roar of the waterfall, and he knew he was getting closer. But since he's an eagle, he knew at the last moment he could just open his massive wings and soar into the sky. And so he kept eating, and as soon as he had eaten the last bite, the ice went right over the waterfall. And so the eagle, he lifted the wings to take off. But he didn't realize that the warmth of his feet had melted some of the ice, and that his feet were now embedded in the ice. And all he tried, he couldn't lift off. And he crashed and died on the rocks below. Delay had caused him his life. I'm going to ask you this morning as I bring this to a close. Some of you have been putting this off for a while. I am going to urge you. Don't run the risk of losing the blessing. God has blessings for you. Don't lose. Come to Jesus today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly. located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.